some of us are not sure how to love. Some of us are not sure how to be happy. Some of us don't know how to grieve. Some of us don't know how to be angry. We don't know how to handle the feeling thing.
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, I got to ask, when that question is raised in your study, people don't know how to handle the feeling thing. How do you help them? How do you counsel them pastorally?
Let's start here. Read the book of Psalms. I think one of the great things about the book of Psalms is that it touches the emotions of a Christian's life.
Yeah.
You know, here we are broadcasting and there are sound waves that go out and there's an amplitude to a sound wave. You know, some Christians have a very small amplitude in terms of emotional life, never feel anything very greatly at all. The Psalms give depth to the soul. They expand the amplitude of a Christian believer's emotional life. And that's one of the great reasons for getting into the Psalms. They help us to love God more, to hate sin more, and therefore to become more like Jesus Christ.
Colin, I love that. That's such a vivid picture. I don't ever think I've thought of it in quite that way.
It's right in your world.
Yeah, that's right. it is. And that really does bring such a clear picture to mind. But with that introduction, I want to encourage you to open your Bible to the book of Psalms. We're going to be looking at Psalm 120 and 121 today as we begin a message from delaying to deciding. Here is Pastor Colin.
I'd like to invite you to turn to the book of Psalms, where we're going to read in a few moments' time from Psalm 120 and Psalm 121. But before we read that, I want just to set out the three aims that I have for this series as we launch out into something new together. What are we hoping to learn and to discover? Number one, that we learn how to pray. See, the Psalms are the prayer book of the Bible. If you want to learn how to pray, this is where to begin. Here we have 150 prayers directly inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. You may remember that in the Acts of the Apostles, we're told that the early Christians, the first church, had four priorities. They gave themselves to the apostles' teaching, they gave themselves to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, that's a communion, and to the prayers. The prayers. What prayers? The Psalms. By the way, evangelicals have traditionally placed a great deal of emphasis on spontaneity in prayer. Some Christians honestly find that quite difficult. You hear other people praying in an eloquent fashion, and you wish that you could have their flow of language, but words don't come so easy to you. And you say, well, how do I begin? The answer? The book of Psalms. It's how Christians have learned to pray for centuries. This is the textbook for God's school of prayer. Immerse yourself in it and you will learn how to pray. Secondly, I have as an aim for this series, and I hope one that we'll all embrace together, to expand the capacity of our hearts. Now, the wonderful thing about the book of Psalms is that every kind of human experience is described here. You find ecstatic joy, you find the depths of depression, you find marvelous faith, you find serious doubts. You have peace and you have raging anger. John Calvin described the Psalms as an anatomy of the soul. In other words, every part of a person's spiritual and emotional life is found right here. And I think that it is very significant that God has given all of this to us in a book of poetry. And that's very significant because poetry not only captures the heart, it expands the heart. And I want to suggest that that is something that some of us are desperately in need of. Poetry has become a minority interest in our society. I mean, when did you last read a poem? With the exception of choosing a card in Hallmarks, which women tend to do more often than men two or three times a year at most. When did you last engage with a piece of poetry? See, what we have in our culture are screeds and screeds of prose. I looked up the word prose in the dictionary. This is what it said. Ordinary, non-metrical form of written or spoken language. Plain, matter-of-fact quality, tedious discourse. The word prose, of course, gives rise to our word prosaic. And prosaic means, like prose, lacking poetry, lacking beauty, unromantic, commonplace, dull. So if your wife says to you, honey, you are so prosaic, that is not a good thing. But the truth is that some of us are very prosaic. We live in a world of sports, of remote controls, of contracts in business, of bottom lines, of margins. We have highly developed minds. We often have splendidly fit bodies and hopelessly underdeveloped souls. Some of us are not sure how to love. You would be surprised how often I hear that question raised in my study. Some of us are not sure how to be happy. Some of us don't know how to grieve. Some of us don't know how to be angry. We don't know how to handle the feeling thing. And some of us, and I have to say, especially the men, find it very difficult to get in touch with our own hearts. You want to feel more than you do, but you don't know how. Have you ever thought about the fact that you need to cultivate the health of your heart as much as you need to exercise your body? Why is it that the Apostle Paul prays that Christian believers, being rooted and grounded in love, may have the power to comprehend how wide and high and long and deep is the love of Christ that passes knowledge? You see, the problem here is one of capacity. Knowing the love of Christ is like pouring an ocean into a thimble. We only know a little because we can only contain a little. And because we can only contain a little, we find it difficult to give more than a little. There is an ocean in God's love to be received and then to be shared. The great question is, how can I expand the thimble capacity of my heart to receive this love and then to be able to reflect it into the lives of others? And the Psalms are the place to begin. More than any other part of Scripture, the Psalms will expand the capacity of your heart. So learn to pray. Expand the capacity of your heart. Here's the third thing. Listen to Christ. It's a big objective of this series. Whose prayers are these? Of course, they're written by various authors, these Psalms, and like all Scripture, the Psalms were breathed out by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But I want us to remember as we go through this new series that Jesus used these prayers in his life on earth. These are the prayers of Jesus. He made them his own. He entered into them. So when you and I make these our prayers today, there is a very, very real sense in which we are praying with Jesus. These are the prayers of Jesus, both because they were inspired by the Spirit of Jesus, as all Scripture is, but also because they were used in the life of Jesus, which the Psalms uniquely were. So you can be confident that as you immerse yourself in these prayers, you will find not only that you are able to speak to Christ, but that Christ is speaking to you.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called From Delaying to Deciding. It's the first message in our series called Moving in the Right Direction. And if you ever miss a broadcast in the series, you can listen online. Just come to openthebible.org. You can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. You can also listen if you have the Open the Bible app. You'll find that for free at your app store. That's a great way to stay connected with Pastor Colin's teaching and listen on the go, on demand, whenever it fits your schedule. So again, find the app for free at your app store or come and listen online at openthebible.org. Back to the message. Here's Pastor Colin.
There are 150 Psalms, and we're going to immerse ourselves in just 15 of them. Psalms 120 to 134. I hope you now have your Bible open there as we're going to read in just a moment. Do you notice as you look at Psalm 120 through to 134 that all of them have one common title? They are all called, and it's just these 15 Psalms that have this title, they're called Songs of Ascents. Now, the reason for this title for these 15 Psalms is that this particular group within the book were sung as God's people were traveling on their way to Jerusalem, where they gathered for festivals of worship each year. Jerusalem, remember, was and is a city set on a hill. It's set on a plateau of high ground. Wherever you came from around Israel, north, south, east, or west, you always went up to Jerusalem, because it was on the high ground. That is why these psalms are called Psalms of Ascent. They were the songs that were sung as people were making their way to Jerusalem. And of course, going to Jerusalem was of huge importance in the Old Testament. Remember that God told his people when they came into the land of Canaan, they were not to worship at any place of their own choosing. So that's what the pagans did. Find a convenient corner, stick up a shrine or an altar, gather a few folks there for worship. That's what the pagans did in Canaan. God said, don't do that. You'll find it in Deuteronomy chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. You must not worship the Lord your God in their way. You are to seek the place that God will choose. To that place you must go. There is a place you must go, God says in the Old Testament, to worship, not any place of your own choosing. And of course, in the time of King David, David discerned that Jerusalem was indeed the place God had spoken about in Deuteronomy 12 and in many other places. That is why he brought the Ark of the Covenant, where God's presence had come down to meet with his people in the desert. He brought it to where? To Jerusalem. That's why he wanted to build a temple in Jerusalem. He didn't do it, but his son Solomon did. And when the temple was complete, the glory of God's presence came down and filled the temple. It was to this place that God's people gathered at least three times a year. They made this pilgrimage to go and seek the place where God had promised his presence. Now, of course, the significance of this is that it is God who chooses where we meet with him. And that shouldn't be surprising. I suppose that you were to seek a meeting with the President of the United States. And suppose you were actually to get through to the White House and to the President's liaison people, and actually they listened to you, and actually they agreed that there was to be a meeting. They might say to you, well, you come to the White House at 4:30 on Thursday. One thing I can promise you would not happen. It wouldn't be you sitting with your feet up in the desk saying, hey, I like to have breakfast at Egg Harbor in Arlington Heights, so if the president can turn up there at 7 o'clock on Friday morning, I'll be glad to see him. It's not going to happen, right? The president is greater than you. If you're going to meet him, he decides where that takes place. Now, this is the principle all the way through the Old Testament, and the reason that it is so important, God chooses the place of meeting, is that all of that is paving the way for us to understand in the New Testament that God has chosen that we meet him not in a particular place, but in a particular person. God has chosen the place that he will meet with any person who will come to him is in Jesus Christ. That, of course, is why Jesus in the New Testament talks about himself as the temple. You don't have to go to Jerusalem to meet with God. But you do have to go to Jesus. He is the living temple in which God's presence is found. All the fullness of the Godhead lives in him. So I'm trying to paint the picture so we understand what this is all about. These Psalms of Ascent describe the Old Testament journey that believers made to Jerusalem, crowds of people going up. And it is for us a kind of visual aid of our journey to the presence of Christ. These Psalms are a picture of the Christian life. The Christian life is a journey of faith in the presence of Jesus. It is also a journey of faith to the presence of Jesus. So we need these songs of ascent. And we're going to read the first two together. Let us hear the word of God. A song of ascent. I call on the Lord in my distress, and he answers me. Save me, O Lord, from lying lips and from deceitful tongues. What will he do to you, and what more besides, O deceitful tongue? He will punish you with a warrior's sharp arrows, with burning coals from the broom tree. Woe to me that I dwell in Meshech, that I live among the tents of Kedar. Too long have I lived among those who hate peace. I'm a man of peace, but when I speak, they are for war. I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Now, we don't know who wrote these particular two Psalms, but it was clearly someone who knew and loved the Lord. These are the words of a true believer. And that is the first thing that is important for us to grasp, because right at the beginning, we find a true believer in deep distress. It's very important, by the way, to know that that can happen. It doesn't mean that there's something wrong with you, that you're in distress. It doesn't mean that there's something lacking in your faith. The psalmist here is in distress because he lives in a world of lies and deceit. He can't trust the people around him, like some in this congregation can't trust the folks around us. He lives in a world of conflict. He says at the end of Psalm 120, I try and make peace with these people, but all they want to do is fight. And the biggest problem is not just the lies and the deception that's going on in the environment in which he lives. It's not just the constant conflict that is wearing him down and is so distressing to him. The hardest thing of all is that as a true believer, he feels miles from the presence of God. Notice what he says in verse 5. Woe to me that I dwell in Meshech, that I live among the tents of Kedar. Now, remember that these songs of ascent are all about going up to Jerusalem, the place where God's presence was known. Jerusalem, God says, I will meet with my people there. That's the Old Testament principle. Meshech was hundreds of miles to the north of Jerusalem, way outside the promised land, somewhere between the Black Sea and the Caspian Sea. Kedar, which he also refers to, was hundreds of miles to the south of Jerusalem, in what we today would call Saudi Arabia. So Meshech and Kedar are just about as far as a person in the ancient world could imagine being in Jerusalem. Now, just looking at that map, it should be pretty obvious to you that the psalmist could not be living in both Meshech and Kedar at the same time, right? So remember, it's a poem. He's using a picture. He's telling us what he feels. I'm in distress, he says, because though I believe and though I am one of God's people, I feel about as far away from God as is possible for a person to be. I'm one of his people, but I don't feel his presence. I'm one of his people, I know nothing of his joy. I'm one of his people, but I'm a long way from knowing his peace. I work among people I can't trust. I'm living in a situation of conflict at home. I live in Meshech. And what's more, I've been here far too long. So he says that, woe to me that I dwell in Meshech. Too long have I lived among those who hate peace. And you know, that's where the journey begins. I called our first reflection on these psalms moving from delaying to deciding. And you know, the first step in moving from delaying to deciding is to develop a holy discontent with your present position. It's what we might call the prodigal principle. You have to be convinced that the pain of staying as you are is greater than the problems you will encounter in making the change. Remember the prodigal son, he's eating with the pigs and he's prepared to carry on doing it. Until we're told he came to his senses and he said, I will go to my father. Up to that point, the difficulties of going to the father seemed to be greater than the problems of eating with the pigs. But he came to the point where a holy discontent motivated him to make the change.
So what about you? Are you discontent with where you're at? You know, if so, this series is for you, and we're glad you're listening. Our series is called Moving in the Right Direction, and it's really a study of the songs of ascent. That's Psalm 120 through Psalm 134. These were songs that were sung by Old Testament believers as they made their way to Jerusalem, where God had promised to meet with his people. And our message today is the first in our series. It's called From Delaying to Deciding. And if you want to get a copy of this message or the series for yourself, ask about it when you call us at 1-877-OPEN-365 or come to our website, openthebible.org. Well, Open the Bible is a listener-supported ministry. It's your generosity that allows us to keep Pastor Collins' teaching on this station. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to offer you a copy of Nancy Guthrie's book, I'm Praying for You, 40 Days of Praying the Bible for Someone Who's Suffering. And Colin, who would you say this book is for?
Well, it's for anyone who has ever said to someone, I'm praying for you. And that surely is every Christian. We've all said to someone who's in need or perhaps a loved one in our family, I'm praying for you. But here's the challenge. How do you keep your prayers fresh when you've been praying for someone for some time, perhaps even for many years? I mean, what are you going to do? Just keep saying, God bless them, God bless them. How do you keep your prayers fresh? And Nancy Guthrie has done a wonderful job in putting together a book that draws deeply from Scripture so that we are given 40 practical suggestions as to how you can pray for a friend, a loved one, or someone who's going through a really difficult time. It's a marvelous resource, and I think folks are going to find it very, very helpful.
Well, we want to send you a copy of this book, I'm Praying for You, as our way of saying thank you for your financial support this month. You can give online at openthebible.org or when you call 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365. Or again, our website is openthebible.org. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible.
Hi, this is Pastor Colin again, and I want you to know about Watch Your Life. Watch Your Life is a 6-session course that is geared for leaders but accessible to every believer. The 6 sessions will show you how to grow in godliness, how to feed on Christ, how to pray in the Spirit, how to battle temptation, exercise faith, and discern God's will. There are questions at the end of each session, and you can use them on your own or you can discuss them with a friend. For more information, visit openthebible.org/courses. That's openthebible.org/courses.